Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The scriptures are very clear. Apart from Christ, before we are called to him, we are blind, we are dead in our trespasses, and we are enemies of God. It should not be surprising to us Christians that those who are not Christians, those outside of the church, those outside of the faith, live like non-Christians. We were enemies of God because that was our default because of Adam's sin. Now, from our very conception, even before we were born, we were inclined to sin. That was our nature wrapped up in that fall. And because our nature was to sin, we were enemies of God. Because God despises sin. He desires his creation to love him as he loves them. He desires his creation to walk in the ways that he has given. To live in open, unrepentant sin is to live contrary and against the very word of God. It is an opposition. It is a rebellion against the very God that has created this person. But how great is God's love that even when we were still enemies, he sent his Son to die for us. So great is our Father's love for us that he sends Jesus. Through the death of his Son, the death that we deserve, the wrath of the Father, because of sin, is poured out on Jesus on that cross. We were enemies, but he has reconciled us to him. He has set the accounts straight. He has purchased us back. He has called us by his name. Through the death of his Son, we have been reconciled, and we shall be saved, not if we live a good enough life, but because he lived the perfect life. And so we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice that we have been called to be Christians. That rather than identify with whatever sin you struggle with, whatever sin you're stuck in, rather than that, you identify as a child of God. You have been purchased. You have been won. You have been washed. You have been adopted. You have been declared his very own. Not to go back to a life of sin. Not to go back to being blind or dead or an enemy of God. Not an enemy, but a son. Not blind, but seeing. Not dead, but alive. You are called, dear Christian, to walk differently, to walk separately than the unbelieving world. It is tragic that once we had Christendom here in these United States, it is tragic not that we had it, but that we have just allowed it to fall by the wayside. We used to be a people that understood that it was important to protect women and children, to protect the weak among us, the widow and the fatherless. We have neglected all of these things because we believe that everyone should simply live publicly however they want to live. God does not desire that for us, He does not desire that for our government. Free speech does not allow people to harm others by killing them or by harming them in some perverted way. Jesus could not be clearer as we read the words from Mark. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. God loves children. He loves babies. He loves the fact that he knits them together in their mother's womb. He loves each step of the way as they grow from the tiniest of beings to whatever size fruit and whatever week the woman is at. He loves to watch that growth. He loves to watch life enter into the world. He loves to watch the growth that happens after birth. He loves to draw people to himself. But he hates when people harm children. He hates when people sin against children. And he says it would be better for them to have a millstone tied around their neck and be thrown into the depths of the sea. So great were their punishment be in hell unless they repent. Where worm does not die, where fire is not quenched. We live in a society that does more to protect those who harm children than to actually protect the children that they harm. We don't allow children to be born. In fact, we celebrate and push for them not to be born. And once they are born, we allow the elites, we allow others to harm them in other perverse ways. They're not held accountable. In fact, they could probably sit there in a hearing and simply plead the fifth at each question. So little do we care about how children are harmed. I firmly believe that God has given the right to put evildoers to death. I do not say that because I'm somehow on a political right spectrum. That's not the point. The point is that God's word is very clear here. God has given us government to put down evil and uphold good. He very clearly gave capital punishment, the death penalty, in the Old Testament to his people. And he told the government to carry that out for many different punishment, or for the punishment for many different crimes. I'm not saying every crime needs to be punished by capital punishment. But I am saying that we forgot what morality is. We have forgotten what right and wrong is, and we have forgotten what punishment is. And it's not just the Old Testament. It's not just because they had a theocracy where God was the king over them and they did what he told when they felt like it. But it is also in the New Testament. Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For the power which exists anywhere is ordained of God. Whosoever resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. God has set up governing authorities to punish evil and uphold good, to protect widows, fatherless, to protect women and children. And now it turns a blind eye to those who harm them. This is not what God desires. God desires us to actually care about the lives that he provides. To care about those children, to care about those women, and to care enough about our lives. Should you be going around plucking out your eyes or cutting off your hands or cutting off your feet? Maybe, but maybe we could try something before we get to that point. If your phone causes you to sin, if it floods you with images and thoughts in your mind, it would be better to get rid of it. I'm not saying you have to have a rotary dial phone, but it certainly helped at one time, didn't it? If you are caused to sin, because everywhere you go out to the bars, it leads to drink after drink after drink. If it's going to the liquor store and it leads to a fact that I cannot control how much I consume of that bottle, it would be better for me not to touch the bottle to begin with. God gives us his laws. He tells us what is right and what is wrong. His desire is eternal communion with him. And if it means that we have to cut things out of our lives, then so be it. Follow Christ. Follow him and you will no longer be blind. Follow him and you will no longer be dead. Follow him and you will not be an enemy, but a child of the God that sent all these things in our behalf. Do not fear the devil. Turn from him and follow Christ. The church sings, as true as God's own word is true, not earth nor hell's satanic crew against us shall prevail. Their might, a joke, a mere facade. God is with us and we with God. Our victory cannot fail. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.